Chapter 12. An account of Mosiah's sons, who rejected their rights to the kingdom for God's word and went up to the land of Nephi to preach to the Lamanites. Their times of suffering and their liberation, according to Alma's record, comprising chapters 12 to 14. As Alma was traveling from Gideon southward to Manti, to his surprise, he came upon Mosiah's sons on their way to Zarahemla. Now these sons of Mosiah were with Alma when the angel first appeared to him. So Alma was overjoyed at seeing his friends again. They were still his faithful brothers in the Lord, and that added to his joy. Their understanding of the truth had expanded greatly. They had grown from their experiences and from serious study of the Scriptures. But this isn't all. They also faithfully prayed and fasted, and as a result, they had the spirit of prophecy and revelation. When they taught with the power and authority of God. They had been teaching God's word for 14 years among the Lamanites, with a lot of success in bringing many of them to accept the truth. Indeed, by the power of their words, many knelt in prayer before God, asking in His name for their sins to be forgiven. They had encountered many afflictions during their missionary work. They suffered a great deal, both in body and mind, including hunger, thirst, fatigue, and many spiritual challenges. This is the account of their journey. In the first year of the judges' rule, after refusing to be kings as their father and the people wanted, and saying goodbye to their father Mosiah, they left Zarahemla. They brought their swords, spears, bows, arrows, and slings to provide food while in the wilderness. They went into the wilderness with a few chosen companions to go to the land of Nephi and preach to the Lamanites. They traveled for many days in the wilderness. To have a portion of the Spirit of the Lord accompany them, they fasted and prayed often, asking the Lord to let them be instruments in God's hands to persuade their Lamanite brothers and sisters to accept the truth, if at all possible. They hoped they would understand their ancestors' traditions were false and corrupt. The Spirit of the Lord visited and told them, "Take comfort," and that comforted them to hear it. The Lord also said, "Go to the Lamanites, your brothers and sisters, and convey my word. You must be patient, long-suffering, and endure afflictions to set a good example for them. I'll make you messengers in my hands to save many souls." Then Mosiah's sons and those with them resolved in their hearts to go to the Lamanites to teach them God's word. When they arrived at the outskirts of the Lamanites' land, each of them went their separate way, trusting in the Lord they would meet again when their harvest ended. They believed the work ahead of them was important, and it was certainly tremendous, because they committed to preach God's word to a wild, hardened, savage people who took pleasure in murdering, robbing, and plundering the Nephites. Lamanite hearts were set on gold, silver, precious stones, and material possessions, which they attempted to acquire through murder and plunder, rather than working with their own hands for them. They were a very lazy people, and many of them worshipped idols. God's curse had fallen upon them because of their ancestors' traditions, but despite that, if they would repent, the promises of the Lord were still offered to them. This was the reason Mosiah's sons decided they needed to do the work to try to get them to repent. They hoped to let them understand the plan of redemption. Then they separated and went their separate ways, each going individually as they were led by the word and power of God directing them. Their leader, Ammon, blessed them each for their missionary effort, as inspired by God, before departing. Then they went their separate ways. Ammon went to the land of Ishmael, the land named for Ishmael's sons, who also became Lamanites. As Ammon entered the land of Ishmael, the Lamanites took him and tied him up since it was their practice to tie up all the Nephites who fell into their hands and bring them to the king. It was left up to the king whether to kill them, enslave them, imprison them, or expel them from his land, as he decided. And so Ammon was brought to the king who was over the land of Ishmael, named Lamoni, a descendant of Ishmael. The king asked Ammon if he wanted to live among his people, the Lamanites. Ammon answered him, "Yes, I want to live among your people for a while, maybe for the rest of my life." And King Lamoni was impressed with Ammon and had his restraints removed. He offered Ammon one of his daughters as a wife, but Ammon said to him, "No, but I only want to be your servant." So Ammon became one of King Lamoni's servants. He was sent to a group of servants assigned to watch Lamoni's flocks. After he had served for 3 days, he went with the Lamanite servants taking the flocks to the waters of Sebus, a watering place. The Lamanites regularly took their flocks there to get water. As Ammon and the king's servants were driving their flocks to that watering place, another group of Lamanites there watering flocks blocked and scattered the flocks brought by Ammon and the king's servants. They scattered them in every direction. Then the king's servants began to complain, saying, "Now the king will kill us, just as he's killed our companions, because their flocks were scattered due to the wickedness of these men." They began to lament, saying, "Our flocks are already scattered." They were afraid of being killed and wept. When Ammon saw this, he was encouraged and saw an opportunity. He said to himself, "I'll make a show to my fellow servants of the power of God within me by restoring these flocks for the king. That will impress my companions that I'm trustworthy, so they will believe me." This is what occurred to Ammon as he saw the distress of those he regarded as his brothers. He encouraged them, saying, "My brothers, be of good cheer. Let's go and search for the flocks. We'll gather them and bring them back to the watering place. We'll save the flocks for the king, and he won't kill us." So they went searching for the flocks. They followed Ammon and quickly located, surrounded, and herded the king's flocks back to the watering place, as Ammon had directed. But those men returned to scatter the flocks again. Ammon said to his companions, "Protect the flocks so they don't scatter, and I'll go and confront these men who are running them off." So they did as Ammon had directed them. And he went out to fight them at the waters of Sebus, and there were many of them. Therefore, they weren't afraid of Ammon, since they thought that one of their men could easily kill him. They didn't know that the Lord had promised Mosiah that he would protect his sons from them. But they didn't know anything about the Lord either. These men thought it fun to destroy even their fellow Lamanites. This is why they went out and scattered the king's flocks. But Ammon stood his ground and began to throw stones at them with deadly accuracy using his sling. In this way, he killed a few of them, so many, in fact, that they were surprised at his ability. This made them angry because their companions were killed. And they wanted revenge and to kill him. But they were unable to hit him with their stones, and so they attacked him with clubs to kill him. But Ammon, with his sword, cut off the arm of every man who lifted his club to strike him. He countered their blows by striking their arms with the edge of his sword. Eventually, even though they outnumbered him, they became terrified and ran away. Despite their number, his skill and strength sent them running away in fear. Now 6 of them were killed by his sling, but their leader was the only one killed by his sword. However, he had severed every arm raised against him, and there were many of them. When he had chased them far away, he returned. After watering their flocks, they returned them to the king's pasture and then went to see the king, carrying the arms of those who had tried to kill Ammon, which he had cut off with his sword. They were carried in to the king as evidence of what was done. Then King Lamoni had his servants explain everything they had seen happen. When they had all testified of what they had seen, And when the king had been informed of Ammon's faithfulness in preserving his flocks, and of his great power in fighting those who tried to kill him, the king was astonished and said, "This must be more than a man. He has to be the great spirit who punishes this people because of their murders." And they replied to the king, "Whether he's the great spirit or a man, we don't know. But we do know at least this much, that he can't be killed by the king's enemies, and they can't scatter the king's flocks either when he's with us, because of his skill and great strength. So we know he's a friend of the king. Now, your majesty, we don't believe that a man has such great power, since we know he can't be killed." When the king heard these words, he said to them, "Now I'm certain he's the great spirit. He's come down at this time to preserve your lives, so I wouldn't kill you like I did your fellow servants. This is the great spirit whom our fathers have spoken about." Now this was the tradition Lamoni was taught by his father, that there was a great spirit, yet despite believing in a great spirit, they thought that whatever they did was right. However, Lamoni began to be overwhelmed with fear that he might have done wrong by killing his servants. He had killed many of them because their fellow Lamanites had scattered their flocks at the watering place, and he had them executed for failing to protect the flocks. Now, it was typical of these Lamanites to plunder flocks by waiting at the waters of Sebus to attack, scatter the flocks, raid, and remove them to their own land. King Lamoni asked his servants, "Where is this man that has such great power?" And they replied, "He's right now feeding your horses." Now the king had commanded his servants, before they watered their flocks, to prepare his horses and carriages and transport him to the land of Nephi. He planned to attend a great feast organized in the land of Nephi by Lamoni's father, the king over all the lands. When King Lamoni heard that Ammon was preparing his horses and carriages, he was more surprised at Ammon's faithfulness. He said, "Certainly no servant of mine has been as faithful as this man. He remembers all my commands and carries them out. Now I know for certain this is the Great Spirit. I would ask him to come and see me, but I don't dare." When Ammon had prepared the horses and carriages for the king and his servants, he went to see the king. He saw the king's countenance had changed, so he was about to turn around and depart. But one of the king's servants said to him, "Rabbana," meaning powerful or great king, considering their kings to be powerful. And so he said to him, "Rabbana, the king would like you to stay." So Ammon turned to face the king and asked him, "What would you like me to do for you, your majesty?" And the king didn't answer him for an hour, according to their time, because he didn't know what to say to him. And Ammon asked him again, "What do you wish me to do?" But the king didn't answer him. Because Ammon was filled with the Spirit of God, he discerned the king's thoughts and said to him, "Is it because you've heard I defended your servants and flocks and killed 7 of their fellow Lamanites with the sling and sword, and cut off the arms of others in order to defend your flocks and servants? Is this what's causing your surprise? I ask you, why are you so surprised? I'm a man and your servant, so I'll do whatever you wish if it's right." Now when the king heard this, he was again surprised, seeing Ammon could discern his thoughts. Despite this, King Lamoni spoke up and asked him, "Who are you? Are you that great spirit who knows all things?" Ammon answered, "I'm not." Then the king said, "How can you read my thoughts? Please speak freely and tell me about these things. Also, tell me how you were able to kill and cut off the arms of the people who raided my flocks. If you explain these things, I'll give you whatever you ask. If it were needed, I would guard you with my armies. But I know you're more powerful than all of them, Still, whatever you ask of me, I'll grant it to you. Since Ammon was wise, yet harmless, he said to Lamoni, Will you listen to what I have to say if I explain the power enabling me to do these things? This is all I ask of you. And the king answered, Yes, I'll believe everything you say. And so Ammon cleverly caught the king's attention. And Ammon began to speak to him boldly and asked, Do you believe there's a God? And he answered, I don't know what that means. Then Ammon asked, Do you believe there's a great spirit? And he answered, Yes. And Ammon said, That's God. And Ammon asked him again, Do you believe this great spirit, who is God, created everything that's in heaven and on the earth? And he replied, Yes, I believe he created everything on the earth, but I know nothing about the heavens. Then Ammon said to him, The heavens are the place where God and his holy angels live. And King Lamoni asked, Is it above the earth? And Ammon replied, Yes, and he looks and sees all mankind, and he knows the thoughts and intents of their hearts, because they were all created by his hand from the beginning. And King Lamoni said, I believe everything you've said. Have you been sent from God? Ammon replied, I am a man. And mankind, in the beginning, was created according to the image of God. And I've been called by his Holy Spirit to teach these things to this people, so they can learn about what's right and true. And a portion of that Spirit dwells within me, giving me knowledge and power based upon my hope and faith in God. Now after Ammon said this, he started with the creation of the world and Adam, telling him all about the fall of mankind. He described and explained the history and recited from the Holy Scriptures, quoting the prophets through the time when their father Lehi left Jerusalem. He also gave them an account, speaking to the king and his servants, of all the traveling their ancestors did in the wilderness, and of all the times they suffered from hunger and thirst, and of their hardships, etc. And he included the times that Laman, Lemuel, and Ishmael's sons rebelled. Indeed, he told them about all their acts of rebellion, and he added information from the records and scriptures written from the time Lehi left Jerusalem down to the present time. Furthermore, he set out the plan of redemption that was prepared from the foundation of creation. He also told them about Christ's coming and about all the Lord's works. After he had told all these things to the king believed everything he said, and he began to pray to the Lord, saying, O Lord, have mercy. According to the abundant mercy you've shown the Nephites, show it to me and my people. When he had said this, he collapsed as if he were dead. Then his servants took him and carried him to his wife and placed him on a bed. He lay there unconscious for 2 days and nights. His wife, sons, and daughters mourned over him, thinking he was dead, following the customs of the Lamanites, deeply grieving his loss. After 2 days and nights, they were about to take his body and place it in a tomb made for burying their dead. Now the queen had heard of Ammon's reputation, so she sent him a message and asked him to visit her. And Ammon did as he was commanded and went to see the queen and asked what she wanted. She said, My husband's servants have told me that you're a prophet of a holy God, and you have power to do many miracles in his name. If this is so, I want you to go and see my husband. He's been on his bed for 2 days and nights. Some say he isn't dead, but others say that he is, and you can smell his decay, and he should be placed in a tomb. But I personally don't think he smells of decay. Now this was what Ammon wanted, since he knew King Lamoni was under God's power. Ammon knew because the dark veil of unbelief had been driven from the king's mind, that the light that lit up his mind, the light of God's glory and a marvelous light of his goodness, that this light had poured such joy into his soul with the cloud of darkness dispersed, that the light of everlasting life was lit up in his soul. He knew this had overcome his physical body, and he was carried away in God. Because of this, what the queen asked of him was exactly what he had hoped. Therefore, he went to see the king as the queen asked, and he saw the king, and he knew he wasn't dead. Then he said to the queen, "He isn't dead. He is sleeping in God. Tomorrow he'll rise again, so don't bury him." Then Ammon asked her, "Do you believe this?" She replied, "I haven't received any information beyond what you've told me and what our servants have told me. Nevertheless, I believe it will happen as you've said." And Ammon said to her, "Blessed are you because of your great faith. Indeed, I tell you, such great faith isn't present among all the Nephites." And she watched over her husband's bed from then until the next day, until the time Ammon said he would arise. And he did get up, just as Ammon had promised. As he stood up, he stretched out his hand to the queen and said, "Blessed is the name of God, and blessed are you. Just as sure as you're alive, I've seen my Redeemer. He'll come and be born of a woman, and he'll redeem everyone who believes in his name." When he had said these words, he was completely overcome, and he dropped back down again with joy. And the queen dropped down as well, since she was also overpowered by the Spirit. Then Ammon, seeing the Spirit of the Lord poured out according to his prayers on the Lamanites, now his fellow brothers and sisters, who before caused so much sorrow among the Nephites, or among all God's people, because of their iniquities and traditions, he fell to his knees and began to pour out his soul in prayer and thanksgiving to God for what he had done for his friends. Then he was overpowered with joy as well. And so all three of them had dropped to the ground. When the king's servants saw they had fallen, they also began to pray to God, as the fear of the Lord had come over them as well. They were the ones who had stood before the king, testifying to him about Ammon's great power. And they called on the Lord's name earnestly, until they had all collapsed onto the ground, except for one Lamanite woman named Abish. Even though she had been previously converted to the Lord for many years because of a remarkable vision of her father, which had brought about her conversion, she never told anyone. So when she saw Lamoni's servants had all fallen to the ground, and her mistress the queen and the king as well, and that Ammon was lying flat on the ground, she knew it was God's power, and thinking this opportunity, by telling the people what had happened to them, that their seeing this scene would cause them to believe in God's power, she ran from house to house telling the people, and they began to gather at the king's house, so many that a crowd formed. And they were astonished to see the king and the queen and their servants lying on the ground. They all lay there as though they were dead. And they also saw Ammon, a Nephite. Now the people began to complain, some saying a great evil had come upon them, or upon the king and his house, because he had allowed this Nephite to remain in the land. But others reprimanded them, saying, "The king has brought this evil upon his house because he killed his servants whose flocks had been scattered at the waters of Sebus." They were also rebuked by those men who had been at the waters of Sebus and who had scattered the king's flocks, since they were angry with Ammon because of how many of their companions he had killed there while defending the king's flocks. Now one of them, whose brother had been killed by Ammon's sword, was very angry with Ammon. So he drew his sword and came forward intending to kill Ammon. But as he lifted his sword to strike him, he was struck dead. That showed that Ammon couldn't be killed. For the Lord had promised Mosiah, his father, "I'll spare him, and it will be so according to your faith." Therefore Mosiah entrusted him to the Lord. When the crowd saw the man who had lifted his sword to kill Ammon was struck dead, they were all frightened. They didn't dare touch him with their hands, or touch any of the others lying there. And they were again astonished, and asked each other what could have caused this great power, or what all these things could mean. And there were many others among them who said that Ammon was the Great Spirit. Others said he was sent by the Great Spirit. But others reprimanded all of them, saying he was a monster who had been sent from the Nephites to torment them. And there were some who said Ammon was sent by the Great Spirit to afflict them because of their iniquities, and it was the Great Spirit who had always looked after the Nephites, who had always rescued them. And they said it was this Great Spirit who had killed so many of their people, the Lamanites. And their arguments grew very intense. While they were arguing with each other like this, the female servant, who had caused the crowd to gather, arrived. When she saw the crowd arguing, she was very sad and troubled, so much so that she started crying. She went and took the queen by the hand, hoping to lift her up from the ground. As soon as she touched her hand, the queen got up and stood on her feet and shouted, "O blessed Jesus, who saved me from an awful hell! O blessed God, have mercy on this people!" When she had said this, she clapped her hands, since she was filled with joy, and said things the people didn't understand. When she finished, she took King Lamoni by the hand, and he got up and stood on his feet. Seeing his people arguing, he immediately intervened and began to reprimand them, and teach them the things he learned from Ammon. And everyone who paid attention to what he said believed and was converted to the Lord. But a lot of them refused to listen. Therefore, they went on their way. When Ammon got up, he also ministered to them, and all of Lamoni's servants did as well. They all declared the very same thing to the people, that their hearts had been changed, and they had no more desire to do evil. And many of them declared to everyone that they had seen angels and had talked with them. And so they had told them about things of God and His righteousness. And there were many who believed what they said, and all those who believed were baptized, and they became a righteous people. And they established a congregation among them. And so the Lord's work began among the Lamanites. This was how the Lord began to pour out His Spirit upon them. And we see that He welcomes everyone who will repent and believe in His name. When they had established a congregation in that land, King Lamoni wanted Ammon to go with him to the land of Nephi, so he could introduce him to his father. The Lord's voice came to Ammon, saying, "You must not go up to the land of Nephi, because the king there will try to take away your life. But you must go to Midoni, because your brother Aaron and Mulekai and Ammah are in prison there." Now when Ammon had heard this, he said to Lamoni, "My brother and his companions are in prison at Midoni. I will go there to free them." Now Lamoni said to Ammon, "I know you can do all things with the Lord's strength, but I'll go with you to Midoni, because the king of the land of Midoni, whose name is Antiomno, is a friend of mine. Therefore I will go there to persuade the king, and he'll release your brother and his companions from prison." Then Lamoni asked him, "Who told you your brother and his companions were in prison?" And Ammon replied, "No one has told me except for God. He said to me, 'Go and free your brother and his companions. They're in prison in the land of Midoni.'" When Lamoni had heard this, he had his servants prepare his horses and carriages. Then he said to Ammon, "Come, I'll go with you down to Midoni. and there I'll plead with the king to release your brother and his companions from prison." As Ammon and Lamoni were traveling there, they met Lamoni's father, who was king over the whole land. Lamoni's father asked him, "Why didn't you come to the feast on that great day when I made a feast for my sons and for my people?" He also asked, "Where are you going with this Nephite who's one of the descendants of a liar?" Lamoni answered him, explaining where he was going, not wanting to offend him. He also told him exactly why he had stayed in his own kingdom, why he hadn't gone to see his father at the feast he had prepared. When Lamoni had explained things to him, to his surprise, his father got angry with him and said, "Lamoni, you're traveling to free these Nephites, who are the descendants of a liar, who robbed our ancestors. Now his children have also come among us, so they can deceive us by their cleverness and lies, so they can rob us once more of our property." Then Lamoni's father commanded him to kill Ammon with the sword. He further commanded him not to go to Madonai, but to return with him to the land of Ishmael. But Lamoni responded, "I won't kill Ammon, and I won't return to the land of Ishmael either. On the contrary, I'm going to Madonai so I can release Ammon's brother and his companions, because I know they're righteous men and holy prophets of the true God." When his father heard these words, he got angry and drew his sword so he could strike him to the ground. But Ammon came forward and said to him, "Do not kill your son. Still, it would be better for him to die than you, because he has repented of his sins. But if you were to die at this time in your anger, your soul couldn't be saved. Besides, it would be right for you to show him mercy, because if you were to kill your son, his blood would cry from the ground to the Lord, who is God, for vengeance to come upon you, since he's an innocent man, and perhaps you would lose your soul." Now when Ammon said this to him, he replied, "I know if I were to kill my son, I would shed innocent blood, since you're the one who's tried to destroy him." And he reached out his hand to kill Ammon. But Ammon deflected his blows and stabbed his arm so that he couldn't use it. Now when the king saw Ammon could kill him, he began begging Ammon to spare his life. But Ammon raised his sword and said to him, "I'll strike you down, unless you grant my request that my companions be released from prison." Then, because the king was afraid he would lose his life, he said, "If you're willing to spare me, I'll grant you whatever you ask, even up to half the kingdom." When Ammon saw that he had influenced the old king according to his desire, he said to him, "If you're willing to agree to my companions being released from prison, and for Lamoni to keep his kingdom, and to stop being angry with him, but let him act freely on his beliefs, then I'll spare you. Otherwise, I'll strike you to the ground." When Ammon had said these words, the king began to rejoice because his life was spared. When he saw Ammon had no desire to kill him, and when he saw the great love he had for his son Lamoni, he was very surprised and said, "Because this is all that you ask, for me to free your companions and to allow my son Lamoni to keep his kingdom, I'll grant your wish for my son to retain his kingdom from this time and forever, and I won't rule over him anymore. I'll also grant your wish for your companions to be released from prison, and you and your companions are permitted to visit me in my kingdom, because I'll be eager to see you." The king said this because he was amazed by what he and his son Lamoni had said. Therefore, he wanted to learn more about those things. Then Ammon and Lamoni continued traveling toward the land of Madonai, and Lamoni gained the approval of the king of the land. Therefore, Ammon's companions were freed from prison. When Ammon saw them in person, he was heartbroken. They were naked, and their skin was rubbed raw, because they had been tied up with strong ropes. They had also been starved, left thirsty, and been abused. Yet they were patient in all their suffering. As it happened, it was their lot to have fallen into the hands of a more hardened and stubborn people. Therefore, they refused to listen to them, and they had them thrown out, beaten, and driven from house to house, and from place to place, up until they had arrived at Midoni. There they were arrested and thrown in prison and tied up with strong ropes and imprisoned for many days until they were rescued by Lamoni and Ammon.